ready to say ciao to those stereotypes and buongiorno to a deeper understanding of Italian culture.
Sounds like a plan.
Perfect. Because today we're diving into the heart of Italy. We've got some really interesting articles and insights lined up. We'll uncover the real story behind Italy's cultural identity. And trust me, it goes way beyond pasta and pizza.
Way beyond.
We're talking about the influence of religion, the surprising diversity. It's getting a fascinating journey, so buckle up.
I'm ready. Let's dive in.
All right, let's start with the obvious. When most people think of Italy, they think, well, Catholicism.
Right, it's hard not to, right? I mean, those grand cathedrals, Vatican City, it's the heart of it all.
And it's not just a visual thing either. I mean, the numbers don't lie. Did you know that 80% of Italians still identify as Catholic?
80%, that's a significant portion of the population. So yeah, it's deeply woven into the fabric of the country.
It really is. But here's where it gets a bit more complex. Catholicism isn't actually the official state religion of Italy.
You're right, it's not. And to really understand this, we need to take a little trip back in time.
All right, I like it. A little Italian history lesson.
Exactly. So for centuries, Catholicism was completely intertwined with Italian life. I mean, it was the official religion, after all. But then came a pivotal moment, the Lateran Treaty of 1929.
The Lateran Treaty. Okay, for those of us who might not be total history buffs, and I'll admit, I'm in that group, can you break down what that actually means?
Absolutely. Basically, this treaty established Vatican City as its own independent state within Italy. It's a country within a country.
That's right. It's easy to forget that.
It is. And this treaty kind of solidified the relationship between the church and the Italian government. It outlined the church's influence in areas like education and even law. But after World War II, things began to change again.
Ah, turning point.
You could say that. Italy transitioned from a monarchy to a republic, and with that came this big push towards a more secular government. And ultimately, that's what led to Catholicism losing its official status as the state religion.
So it's almost like this balancing act, wouldn't you say? Holding on to these very deep-rooted traditions, while also embracing this new, more secular identity.
It's a dance, that's for sure. And this constant interplay between tradition and change is woven through so many aspects of Italian life.
You know, that actually reminds me of something from our research.
Oh.
Yeah. One fascinating thing about the Lateran Treaty, it included mandatory Catholic religious education in public schools.
Wow, I didn't realize that was a direct result of the treaty.
And get this, that practice. It was so ingrained in the culture, it continued until the 1970s.
That's interesting. So even though Catholicism wasn't the state religion after World War II, its influence in society clearly continued.
Absolutely. And like you said, this back and forth between tradition and change, it's everywhere in Italian life.
Yeah.
Especially when you look at their celebrations. Let's just say Italians know how to put on a show.
They do. Food, festivities, it's all part of the experience.
And religion. It's often right at the center of it all.
Yeah.
Okay, so picture this. It's Easter week, the sun is shining, and we're in Trapani, Sicily, for this thing called the Procession of the Mysteries of Trapani.
Yes. It's a powerful example of faith in action.
I was just reading about it in our research. What exactly are the mysteries, though?
So our sources describe these massive, elaborate statues, and they depict scenes from Christ's passion.
Okay, so they're like religious artworks.
They are, but they don't just stay tucked away in a museum or a church. They parade these statues through the streets for an entire 24 hours. It's a collective display of mourning, reflection, celebration.
Wow, a full 24 hours. It's almost hard to comprehend that level of dedication.
It really shows you how deeply rooted these traditions are, how important they are to the community.
It's not just a spectacle, right?
Exactly. It's living history, a testament to their faith. Okay, now let's switch gears to Venice for La Venuta, a celebration of St. Peter's arrival. If the Trapani procession is about solemn devotion, La Venuta is pure joy.
Our research mentioned vibrant boats, all decked out, sailing across the Venetian lagoon.
Exactly. Adorned with flowers and lights, a dazzling spectacle.
It sounds magical. And speaking of sensory experiences, we can't forget the food.
Of course. No Italian celebration would be complete without a feast. Every festival, religious or not, has its own culinary delights.
For Easter, I read about the sweet bread. And for La Venuta, Seafood, right.
Mountains of it, apparently.
Yeah.
It's fascinating how food plays such a central role. These time-honored recipes passed down through generations, it's like a culinary link to their heritage.
It's that connection to the past that seems so crucial. So even when these festivals are tied to religion, they become about something bigger.
Absolutely. It's a celebration of shared identity, of those deep-rooted Italian traditions.
And that's something that really resonated with me in our research. But it's not just about Catholicism anymore, is it?
You're right. Italy, like a lot of places, is experiencing a surge in religious diversity. Mm. It's not just about maintaining those long-standing traditions, but about weaving in new threads.
Creating a more multifaceted cultural tapestry.
Exactly. And our sources indicate that around 5% of the population now identifies with other religions.
Which might not seem like a lot, but in the grand scheme of things, it represents a significant shift.
It does, and it's changing the face of Italian society gradually but undeniably.
So how does this religious diversity actually play out in everyday Italian life?
Well, for one, you see a growing presence of mosques and Muslim cultural centers, especially in cities like Milan and Rome. It adds a whole new dimension to the cultural landscape.
It's exciting to think about, you know, this blend of old and new, how it's shaping modern Italy.
It is. And it's happening across the board, really, wouldn't you say?
Totally. Food, music, everyday life, it's evolving.
It is. And speaking of evolution, our research actually highlighted something pretty interesting about the Italian language itself.
Oh, yeah. It really stood out, right? With a whopping 87% of Italians speaking Italian, it's like this unifying thread. It connects everything to the past.
It does. Think about it. Every word, every story, it all taps into centuries of shared history, that cultural memory.
Wow, when you put it that way, it's almost poetic. Language as this lifeblood of tradition.
It's powerful. But, and here's where it gets even more interesting, it's not just standard Italian that plays this vital role.
Right, because Italy, as we've been saying, it's a country with such distinct regional identities.
And those identities, they come with their own dialects, their own linguistic fingerprints.
So we're talking Sicilian, Friulian, Venetian.
Exactly. Each one is like a time capsule, honestly, preserving those little nuances of history and culture.
It's incredible. Like, each region has its own secret language, adding another layer to the whole Italian experience.
It's fascinating.
And speaking of those regional identities, there was something else that really stood out in our research. Family.
Ah, familia. The bedrock of Italian society, no doubt.
It's everywhere, isn't it? Those big family meals, all the generations, and the emphasis on religious milestones.
Exactly. Baptisms, confirmations, first communions, they're more than just rituals. They're about strengthening those family bonds, passing down traditions, stories. It's all about making sure those threads of culture stay connected.
It's a good reminder, isn't it?
Mm.
That while Italy is this nation, it's also this tapestry,
mm,
woven from all these distinct, vibrant, regional, and familial identities.
You said it. And that constant interplay, that back and forth between tradition and change, that's what makes Italy so captivating.
It really does. So, to our listeners, if you're ever dreaming of experiencing the magic of Italy firsthand, take it from us.
Go beyond those typical tourist traps.
Exactly. Learn a few basic Italian phrases. Ciao is a good place to start.
It is. And maybe even seek out a regional festival or celebration.
Oh, yeah. Because whether you're witnessing a centuries-old religious procession or just having a meal with a local family, you're experiencing a piece of something truly special. You're getting a taste of that multifaceted gem that is Italian culture.
Perfectly said.
Well, that's all the time we have for today's deep dive into the heart of Italy. We hope you enjoyed this journey as much as we did. Until next time, ciao.